getting a divorce, even thinking about getting a divorce, can be overwhelming, scary, and sometimes exciting. Join divorce coach and mediator Mandy Walker for conversations about divorce. The more you know, the easier it will be to make your divorce healthier, less stressful, and to put it behind you. Here's Mandy.
Welcome to Conversations About Divorce. I'm Mandy Walker, and today we're talking about suicide and divorce. I wanted to talk about this because recently the spouse of one of my clients died by suicide shortly before their final divorce hearing. It was obviously very upsetting for all of their friends and their family, and it was not the outcome that anyone wanted. But this is not uncommon. So what I want to talk about today is how do you respond if you start discussing divorce and your spouse starts to talk about suicide? What do you do if you start thinking about suicide? How do you respond if it's your child who's talking about suicide? If one party is at risk of suicide, then should the divorce be put on hold? So all of those are good questions. And joining me today to kind of try and tease out some of this is my fellow divorce coach, Martha Bodyfelt. Martha is also a fabulous, awesome, regular contributor to my Since My Divorce blog. Welcome, Martha.
Hi, Mandy. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you, everybody, for listening to this podcast. Mm.
Before we start talking about this, I did want to just say that neither Martha or I are health professionals. So this is not about a clinical or a medical response or about understanding the underlying causes for someone feeling suicidal. But it's much more, we're going to focus more about how do you respond to the situation? What are some of the tips that we've learned as we've been dealing with our clients for this? So I thought we'd start, Martha, with what do you do if your spouse is talking about divorce and it's you that's having suicidal thoughts?
So the first thing, and just to kind of preface, I have in, you know, in my coaching practice, I have dealt with quite a few more than I would like to admit, you know, and that just speaks to, you know, the issue that this is. I have had more than a few clients and more than a few, you know, readers, easily a couple dozen, to my blog that have expressed this to me, that I am feeling like life after this marriage is going to be worthless. I feel like I'm not ever going to be able to see my kids again. I feel like my identity as a spouse or a provider and everything I work towards, if I don't have that, who am I? And it's a major issue. And if you are the person, and this is what I tell, you know, my clients who have expressed these things to me, if you are the person who is expressing this, the number one thing I advise my clients, and I would advise anybody out there who's listening to the podcast who were, you know, going through these thoughts as well, is please, please get help. It is not a stigma. You did not do anything wrong. It is not shameful to ask for help. And just remember that there are so many resources out there that can help you get through this. So please don't think that, you know, going through a divorce and your family situation changing or your financial situation changing warrants you ending your life. That is, right. That's not the case. And so definitely, the advice I give clients is please get help, because you deserve that help, and your family and your friends and those close to you, and especially your children, deserve that, you seeking that help as well, because this is them. This is their, you know, they're going to have to deal with this as well.
Right. And that, I always think that, you know, you wish you could tell somebody, you know, it's going to be okay. You can get mm-hmm. through this, but it's also like, I never want to sugarcoat something for a client.
Sure.
It's because mm-hmm. I don't think divorce is ever easy. Maybe I've had one or two sure. clients where it seems like it's been really easy, but it's difficult. It's hard. There's a lot of change involved. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. And so for somebody who's feeling suicidal, it's not like you can make that divorce or the end of the marriage go away. And I know that it's going to take them mm-hmm. time when they do go to see a health professional. it takes mm-hmm. time to work through those issues. So, and I agree.
Absolutely.
It's so important to go get help because, as they say, suicide it's a permanent solution to what is a temporary situation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I'm really glad that you brought up kind of that terminology. And that's kind of something that I like to, you know, talk to people about things not to say, you know, if your spouse or, you know, somebody that is going through a divorce, you know, is struggling with thoughts of suicide, is to say to somebody who is in that situation, hey, cheer up. Or, you know, to say to somebody who's in that situation, oh, it's all going to be okay. Although when you're saying those things, that's coming from a good place, please understand that is not helpful. And the analogy that I like to give when, you know, to that is, if somebody were to come up to you and had just been in a horrible car accident and had, you know, I don't know, God forbid, had severed their arm, you know, and the arm was completely amputated, would you go to that person and say, oh, let me put a Band-Aid on that?
It's going to be okay. You can still go ride your bike.
Absolutely. It was just flesh wounds. Like, no, you would not do that. You would not do that to somebody who had a physical injury like that that was life-threatening. So, you know, you wouldn't say to them, oh, hey, here's a Band-Aid. You'll be fine. Just put this Band-Aid on. Absolutely not. So I advise people that I want you to transfer that same mentality to someone who is suicidal, that's basically, if you're telling them, oh, it's going to be okay, oh, just cheer up, that's not doing anything, because that's basically you putting a tiny Band-Aid on the, you know, the severed arm that is their suicidal thoughts. And so people need to understand that. I feel like, and just, you know, kind of the research that I've done and, you know, the experience that I have with my clients, yet again, I am not a mental health professional, but just kind of what I've noticed is those suicidal thoughts are, it's kind of a perfect storm, you know, and that's coming from people who are afraid that, you know, they're never going to see their children again if their spouse is alienating them from the kids. It may come from, you know, if someone's already suffering from depression, if somebody's already, you know, dealing and struggling with, you know, mental health issues, and this compounded with, you know, the financial stress of divorce, the lifestyle changes of divorce, and then just having your entire identity as a spouse or a provider completely shaken and ripped out from under you, it can be a perfect storm for some people. But just because, yeah, oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking in terms of like trying to help somebody who is feeling suicidal, mm-hmm. absolutely do get help. But then I also thought that if their sense that their spouse is rushing ahead with this divorce, is moving too quickly for them to be able to process what's going on, then they mm-hmm. should consider asking their spouse to slow it down and just say, hey, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. I need more time to think this through, because mm-hmm. I just need more time to understand it and to understand what's happening. Can you do that for me? Will you please slow this down?
Right. And I think that's an excellent suggestion, because what really divorce is, when you take away, you know, the emotional impact, is it is a business transaction. You are dividing up your assets. And there's no reason you can't pause that business transaction. There's no reason that you can't pause that divorce and give yourself time and give your spouse time if they need that break, if they need to get that mental health that they, you know, that they deserve to have in order to get whole and in order to be, you know, well enough in order then to proceed with that business transaction. So if you are that person who is in the divorce, who is contemplating suicide, you have the right to ask that of your spouse. You know, this is your life. This is the end of your marriage. This is your future, and you need to take care of you. And if that means that looking at a co-parenting agreement can wait 3 months or 6 months. So you can get the help and you can get the intervention that you need. So you're in a place that you're not wanting to take your life. You deserve that. That is your right to ask your spouse that. Absolutely. Because your health and your mental health, that's a priority in a case like this.
Right. And then I also thought that if you have an attorney, if you're using an attorney, then you absolutely have to tell the attorney the way that you're feeling, because they may also be able to suggest ways to slow down the legal process.
Absolutely. And you know, obviously I'm not an attorney, but I play one on TV. I mean, I'm not an attorney, but the colleagues I have who are, you know, divorce lawyers, if you are working with a good divorce lawyer, they are going to have that foundation and that experience. And they've also, you know, you won't be the first case that they've come across where you're dealing with, you know, mental health issues like, you know, suicide. So please, you know, if you're working with a good attorney, and I really hope you are, please ask them your options, because chances are they've worked with this before and they can absolutely speak with, you know, your soon to be ex-spouse's, you know, attorney to say, hey, let's put this on hold. And, you know, if your ex's, you know, your soon to be ex's attorney is not, you know, no, we just want to go through with the divorce, there's no reason that your divorce attorney can't appeal to the judge in that case.
Well, because
see what your options are.
Yeah, because I'm just in that, I'm just thinking of the imbalance in terms of decision-making capacity and even the capacity to realistically make assessments. Well, you know, what we don't want people doing in a divorce situation is making agreements and under duress or agreements that they feel like, you know, well, I had to agree because I didn't really have any other choice, or I might just as well take this, you know, everything's lost anyway. Those are not good agreements, and they're agreements that later on and you'll regret, and that's what we don't want happening. So, you know, if your decision making capacity is impaired, which I think that it would be if you're having suicidal thoughts, then, you know, it's really important to say, I need to get help for my health right now, and I need this to slow down.
Absolutely. And if you, you know, you are someone who is having those suicidal thoughts, you know, in your divorce, kind of the number one thing to remember is you have so many options. You have so many options available to you, and not only with the mental health and the resources that, you know, that can help you, but also options in terms of having, you know, the divorce be something that you can live with. And Mandy, just like you said, you know, we see so many people, you know, as divorce coaches that are looking at their divorce cases in this very kind of myopic vision, and they're thinking emotionally and they're making their business decisions with their emotions when they should be making them with logic. And when you're in a dark place, when you're thinking suicidal thoughts, you're not able to make, you know, the best decisions for you and for your kids anyway. So, and that's just from a mental health perspective. So you put that on top of, you know, divorce is hard and divorce is emotional when you're not suicidal. And so it's very hard to make business decisions when you're not suicidal. And so when you are, that's, you know, that compounds it. And so, you know, just definitely take care of yourself, you know, get that help that you need. And remember that you don't have to go through the divorce and be pressured into going to it if you're not in the correct, you know, emotional state to do that.
Right.
I mean, that's going to harm you. Yeah, definitely.
So let's move on a bit, and let me ask you then, like, the other way around, like, you know, you're the one that's initiating the divorce, and you are talking to your spouse about it, and they are saying that they might kill you. I mean, sorry, that they might kill themselves.
Right.
That they
that's a completely different podcast. Yeah.
Right. So, but what would you say in that situation? I mean, I think it's standard. The standard response is that just to tell the person that you're never responsible for the choices that your spouse makes. And I think even though you aren't responsible for their choices, I still think we all have a moral responsibility to help and to support each other. But ultimately, if your spouse does choose to take their own life, then it doesn't mean that it's your fault or that you're responsible for that.
Absolutely. And this part gets very, you know, when it's your spouse who is the one who's threatening to commit suicide, this gets very, very sticky. And I've dealt with clients with this as well, that they've had a spouse that has basically said, you know, who's had kind of controlling behavior, that says, and kind of abusive behavior, that they've threatened, if you leave me or if you divorce me, I'm going to kill myself. And that gets like really tricky, because they're using this threat of ending their life to control you.
I'm glad you brought that up. Yes.
Yeah. And that is such an infuriating situation, because when people are threatening that, that totally kind of takes away, and that kind of takes away the importance of dealing with folks who, you know, for lack of a better term, you know, that they, you know, who mean it. So then that's like, right, that's a very hard situation to be in, because it says, okay, is my spouse just doing this to control me? Especially if you have a history with that spouse where that spouse has been controlling, manipulative, and abusive. And then so trying to figure out, is this my spouse's way to control me and to manipulate me and to continue to do that? Or is this, you know, is my spouse, does he really, really mean, do they really mean it? And that's just the hardest situation to be in.
Right.
You know,
so,
and to that, you know, yeah.
I was going to say, we'll come back to that, but right now we're going to take a short break, Martha. Listeners, I'm Mandy Walker. This is Conversations About Divorce, and today we're talking about suicide and divorce. My guest today is Martha Bodyfelt. Martha is a fellow divorce coach, and you can read more about Martha's work at her website, survivingyoursplit.com. And Martha, you have a free divorce recovery guide for our listeners, too.
I do. So if you guys want to go over to the site, survivingyoursplit.com, and if you enter your email address in, you can get an instant download right when you enter your email. You can hit the button and get an instant download of the divorce recovery guide, which basically is an amazing ebook, an amazing tool that's going to help you kind of shake off the insanity that you're dealing with. It's going to kind of show you how to get rid of some of the drama and instant steps to help you start feeling better and organized within even 10 minutes of you reading the guide. So I invite you to definitely check it out at survivingyoursplit.com. No, I'm not a used car saleswoman.
Great. So let's just jump back to if your spouse is talking about committing suicide. And I'm glad you raised that situation where the threat of suicide is very definitely sometimes used as a power and control tactic. And I was thinking, you know, your response to somebody who's saying that they're going to commit suicide is, I know I've had conversations with other people, is that to ask, well, do you have a plan? Have you thought this through?
Mm-hmm.
And if they actually say, yes, I'm going to kill myself with the gun that we have downstairs, and well, have you got a plan for when you're going to do that? If they have a plan, they are in imminent danger, and you absolutely need to call 911.
Yes.
And get them the help. If they don't have a plan, then you urge them to seek treatment. And I think that this is a key to trying to distinguish between, is it a power and control tactic, or is it somebody who's genuinely suicidal? Because
absolutely,
I think if it's power
absolutely
and control, they're going to resist treatment. If they're genuinely suicidal, I think that there may still be a resistance. There is a helplessness there, but I think they'll be more open to seeking treatment. And I do think...
Absolutely.
And I do think you should get treatment too. And that's the treatment for yourself will help you figure out, is this power and control? And you may already have been through counseling, but it'll help you figure out, is this a manipulation or is it a real threat?
Right. And I want to just explore when you were saying, asking your spouse, hey, do you have a plan? I would even say, you know, if you're going through that situation where your spouse is threatening that, I would invite you to ask yourself that too. Do you have a plan? If you are dealing with someone who, you know, has these behavioral issues, in addition to also some of the controlling things, what is your plan as a spouse to protect yourself in that situation and to protect, you know, your children and your pets and, you know, different things like that, so I would invite you to think about that as well, that, you know, if you are married to someone who has a history of manipulating and abusing and controlling you, and this is someone who, oh, well, no, I don't have a plan, but I just might, I would invite you to start thinking about there. You should probably start taking steps to protect yourself too.
Right. And your local domestic violence shelter would help you figure mm-hmm. that they're a tremendous resource for that. And certainly if they're threatening suicide, if they have suicidal thoughts, then I think you can talk to them about calling their primary care physician and asking for a referral if they don't already have therapists. But you can take an active role in trying to get them help.
Absolutely. And that help, I mean, it doesn't have to cost anything. I know a great site is the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. That's a great, you know, either for if you, you know, are contemplating that, or if you have a loved one who's also contemplated, you know, suicide, that's a resource that I direct my clients and readers to. And that's, they've got, you know, operators, you know, they've got trained professionals there. There's lots of reading materials and checklists and things like that. That can definitely help you if this is something you're dealing with. I have a few clients that are actually combat veterans, and PTSD and mental health issues, you know, and suicide is something they, as well as their spouses, struggle with. And so another great resource is the Veterans Crisis Line. And, you know, even if you're not a veteran, that's a great, you know, a great resource to use. And for the gentlemen out there who are dealing with suicide, and I'm no statistician, but I do know that the rates of suicide are higher for men after divorce than they are for women. Another really great source is if you are a man who is struggling with this, there's a great website. It's a nonprofit called mantherapy.org. And, you know, even if you're the wife of someone who's struggling with these issues, that's also a great website, great resource for you to take a look at your options. So those are three, you know, free resources right there to educate yourself and to help taking the take those actions.
Right. Thanks, Martha. That's I'm going to put those links in the show description. Let's just talk. I've got so many more questions I want to get in here, Martha. So let's talk about what if it's your child who's threatening suicide because they've heard mom and dad talking about divorce? So, you know, obviously, you know, the priority has to be on getting the child into treatment and securing their safety.
Absolutely. And that is, you know, that is definitely an issue, especially if your child is already dealing, you know, with some behavioral health issues, and different things like that. Much like people who are dealing with depression and are dealing with alienation and are dealing with, you know, financial changes and suicide kind of being a perfect storm of dealing with those things. It's the same thing for children, that if, you know, your child is already dealing with, you know, bullying, if your child is already, you know, dealing with upheaval at home, this could just kind of add fuel to that fire. And so not only getting that child, you know, the help that they need, something also to think about is, I mean, and this is, I don't know if this is paranoia necessarily, but ensuring that making your house as safe as possible.
Right.
You know, so your child doesn't, you know, if you are a gun owner, you know, because I had a couple of friends growing up who were in a depressed state and were able to find their, you know, their father's, you know, revolver from the gun case and, you know, take their own lives from that. And so if you are a gun owner, I would advise you to, keep that ammunition and keep those, you know, guns locked up, you know, so a child, if they are suicidal, cannot get a hold of them.
Right. I was also thinking
prescription medication.
Yeah, I was also thinking it would be really important for parents in that situation to get themselves into some sort of counseling for how they parent
sure.
together to help their child through this. I mean, it's not about marriage counseling. It's a wake-up mm-hmm. call to say, you know, parents, you've got to get on the same page about helping your child.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I learned during some of the training certification courses I did when I was becoming a divorce coach is it's not divorce in and of itself that negatively impacts children. It's divorce is just a fact. But how parents deal with it and how parents treat one another during that divorce is what can cause a child to, you know, be traumatized by it. And so, you know, with that being said, you know, parents, although if they are divorcing, if they, you know, make a pact with one another to be co-parents and to help one another, especially if their child is going through, you know, if they are, you know, attempting suicide or considering suicide, you have to be on the same team. Because if you're not, your child is going to see, oh, mom and dad aren't getting along, it's my fault, maybe then I can just, you know, maybe I should not be here anymore.
Right.
So please,
right.
you know, if you don't agree on anything, which is a reason that you're deciding, you know, to divorce, this is the one thing you need to agree on. It's coming together to help that child, put your stuff aside and, you know, come together to help your child.
Right, and I'm glad that you raised that. And I one little twist here that I wanted to talk about is, what if your child or even your spouse says, you know, I'm feeling suicidal. You know, you have to promise me we're not going to get divorced. Promise me that you and dad aren't going to get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And your point there about it's not the divorce that causes the problem; it's the behavior, the ongoing behavior. Leading up to the divorce and afterwards, I think is key there because as I was thinking about this, prepping for this, I thought that, you know, my rule of thumb is you never make promises that you don't know that you can keep. So mm-hmm. I would tell somebody, don't make that promise not to divorce because I'm not sure that you can keep it. And also, you know, promising not to divorce doesn't address the underlying cause for why the discussions were going on about divorce. So it's a hollow, mm-hmm. it's a hollow promise, and it doesn't fix the problem.
Absolutely. And it's funny. So, you know, I'm not a child psychologist, but from what I understand, you know, and kind of the readings that I've done and, you know, the clients that I've worked with that, you know, do have children who are struggling, you know, with divorce is children have a tendency, they've got like a very egocentric kind of point of view. And that's not saying that all little kids are selfish. It's not that. But just how their development is children think that everything that happens around them is because of them. And so if, you know, if mom and dad are fighting, sometimes, you know, especially if mom and dad aren't, you know, explaining and communicating with the child, sometimes that child might think, oh, well, mom and dad are fighting because it's my fault, because of something I did. And when mom and dad continue not to work together, that idea continues to brew with the child. And so, you know, that's when the child thinks, oh, well, you know, if I try to get them to promise that they won't divorce and everything will be okay. Oh, if they don't promise or if they break that promise, oh, it's all my fault. And so it's just, you know, it's to play into that with your child is very, very dangerous because like you said, Mandy, you should not make promises that that you can't keep. And, you know, you do need to address the underlying issues. And if your child is struggling, you know, with the decision, you know, for you that you and your spouse are splitting, you need to get your child help. And there are so many, you know, child psychologists. They're everywhere. Like, you can't swing a cat without hitting one. You know, that there's so many child psychologists that have, this is their specialty, is helping children through a divorce. And so, you know, I implore you to get your, you know, child to one of those to get the help that they need to navigate.
But it is also important for the parents to be involved in it. It's the way, the whole family dynamic thing there. So, we're kind of running out of time here, but I wanted to talk about one more concept here, and that's about safety packs. And I know that they're used in healthcare settings, but I think that they could be used by individuals. And I also think divorce professionals and coaches and mediators could use them. The basic concept is to ask the party who says that they're feeling suicidal, are they able to commit to not harming themselves until your next da, da, da. So that could be like, you know, as a mediator, I could say, can you promise me that you won't harm yourself until we meet again? And it's just like kind of getting them through that period of time. So I was thinking, as a spouse who's had that conversation with the partner about getting divorced, you'd say, well, can you promise me that you're not going to harm yourself at least until we get until tomorrow night, when we can sit down and talk about this some more?
I agree. Absolutely. And I remember you had sent me this really great thing, that it was a kind of signing a suicide contract, that is, it's a little bit more formal, although it's not enforceable, but it's just kind of the spirit and the intention of it is really powerful. Is, if you are, you know, divorcing someone who's going through suicide, or you're thinking of those thoughts themselves, that to have like a piece of paper that says, hey, I promise not to do this. I promise that I will get, you know, the help that I need. I promise to not make any rash decisions until XYZ. And even getting someone to like physically sign like a document, although that document's not really enforceable, even getting somebody to put their signature on that, I think we're kind of conditioned that once we have our signature, or once we say, I promise this, we're just kind of, we have a tendency then to kind of shift our mind frame and thinking, I made that commitment to that person, I'm beholden to that person. And, you know, in this situation, I don't think that's a bad idea, especially if you are taking it day by day.
Right. Right. So I like that idea. It's like, and it's a no harm pact, but it's not a substitute for treatment. Treatment is always necessary.
Absolutely. This is one of these things that it helps supplement, you know, the treatment. And it is something that you can, you know, if your spouse, or if you are, have agreed and you are getting help, you know, to, you know, help with the suicidal thoughts, this can be just another kind of fortification, you know, for that if there is a time that you're between, you know, appointments with your mental health, you know, with your mental health specialist, and you are feeling down and all that, or if you notice your spouse feeling down, this is something that you can bring to them, saying, hey, well, remember we talked about, you know, the promise that you gave to not harm yourself. And even something, you know, kind of in addition to that, hey, can you promise me that you're not going to hurt yourself between now and our next session? I would even invite people to kind of take that a step further to, if you are thinking about harming yourself, can you give me a plan that I can do to help you?
Right.
If that
who will you call? Who are you going
exactly.
to call? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Exactly. It goes back to that having a plan.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Martha. We're up on time here, but I wanted to, you had mentioned some terrific resources earlier on. I wondered if you could just recap. I think you said National Suicide Hotline.
Yes, I have three of them for, you know, for the listeners. There's a National Suicide Prevention Hotline, and that is kind of the go-to, you know, authority. I would also invite listeners to take a look at the Veterans Crisis Line, as well as a great website called mantherapy.org.
Okay. And I will put links to all of those on the show website and also on my blog where I post a synopsis of this show. So thank you so much, Martha, and thank you for the important work that you do guiding people through the emotional transitions of divorce. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for having me. And, you know, to the listeners out there, remember that, you know, suicide is never a solution and that there are people out there who, you know, who would love to help you because your life is worth it.
Great. And listeners, my guest today was Martha Bodyfelt. Martha is a fellow divorce coach. Do check out Martha's website, survivingyoursplit.com. And she has a free divorce recovery guide there that you can download instantly. Suicide, it's a very difficult topic. And I don't think that we talk about it enough. There's a lot of stigma attached to it. But I hope by having this conversation today about it, it increases awareness and helps people be more prepared. I think being aware that your spouse or your child may feel suicidal when you start talking about divorce will help you to be on the alert and for the warning signs and to be on the lookout for it and to be more prepared to respond to them. And I am not saying that you have to stay married. What I am saying is that I think that we all have a responsibility to help people who are feeling suicidal and help them get the treatment that they need so they can be better equipped to handle divorce. So I hope today's conversation has been helpful for you. I want you all to stay safe and thank you for listening. You'll find a synopsis of the conversation on my blog at sincemydivorce.com. I'm Mandy Walker, and I hope you'll join us again next time for more conversations about divorce.